It is Monday the 30th of April, and this is episode 117 of Digital Outbox. Hello, another episode. I'm Chris. I'm joined by the whole gang today. Henry's here.
Yay.
And Ian's here.
Yay.
And apologies for we are a bit late. But, you know, we're always worth the wait, right?
Yeah, that's...
We inserted our own tumbleweed there. Never mind.
We did, didn't we? Yeah, definitely.
But let's crack on. Starting with a nice old subject. Haven't heard from these guys for a while. Pirate Bay. And their necessity to be blocked by all UK ISP providers.
Yes, a judge has said they shall be blocked, and they will be.
They shall not be on the internet anymore.
No, so if you're in the UK, basically the Pirate Bay is going to get blocked. So this was, I want to say it was about 6 months ago that there was a court case and BT was told you must block it.
Sounds about right, yeah.
And they've kind of went back to court, and now the judge has ruled that Sky, Everything Everywhere, TalkTalk, O2 and Virgin Media, so the big five of the big six must block the site. And interestingly, the sixth one, which is BT, has asked for more time to consider its position while it talks to the BPI. So I don't quite know what's going to come of that, but basically it's going to get blocked.
Yeah, and I imagine that each of those providers is going to block it in a very slightly different way, and some will go with the whole hog, deep down packet sniffing, and others will go, just block its current IP. We'll take it from there.
I think so.
Yeah. So there's already, they've already put out solutions how to get around the blocks. There's reverse lookups and all sorts of stuff going on. I'm pretty sure that if you wanted to get around the block, you could.
Just go to any primary school. I'm sure one of the kids will tell you how to get around it.
In fact, Henry's pick today might let us do that straight away.
That's right.
Anyway, so yes, it probably won't work, but they have done it. I mean, it's interesting it's only those five providers or six providers.
I think said last time, if one of the big ones gets done that way, most others follow suit. So it's just
whether they've got the capability to do it, I guess. Anyway,
but, well, they will. Technically, they'll be able to say that if somebody uses our service, in the correct fashion, it's blocked. And I'm sure there's going to be people using different DNSs and people using VPNs, and it won't work for those people that are willing to work around it. There's very easy workarounds, that's the bit that gets me. But what are we really doing here?
But the thing is, for the average everyday user, they won't bother with those workarounds. It's not worth the effort, so they'll find somewhere else. New site will spring up.
I think this is the start of the kind of what we see as the open internet, and they'll be the ones that all the kind of cool kids go on.
Yeah, the two-tiered networks. Yeah.
Yeah, it's starting to happen.
I think you're right. Yep, I think you're right. John Lewis, who knew? They're going to release a broadband network. They're going to probably resell and another network, but they're going to offer so there's no activation fees, having a free support telephone line and a free wireless network, but not the cheapest service going, starting at 25 quid basically up to 38
really
quid.
But John Lewis is never knowingly undersold.
Well, they're obviously shutting their ears to the cheaper prices elsewhere, aren't they?
Yes. Anyway, who knew? But everyone's doing broadband. Anyone tempted by this?
No.
No.
No. Someone will be, though.
I'm sure there'll be like some old granny somewhere. Middle England. I don't know why that's
I think Middle England.
Middle England.
That sprung to my mind as well.
A whole lot of Tories are probably rejoicing right now. John Lewis to the rescue!
I mean, it's true, isn't it? Because they've probably been thinking, you know, they've probably been going down to John Lewis and wanting to buy their broadband there, because obviously, I mean, John Lewis sell everything. And I've been a bit disappointed up to now that they've not been able to buy their broadband along with their telly and their computer and everything else. So
it's been absolutely frightful.
That's Ian doing Middle England. So here we go. Let's have a summary of this patent story then. So Facebook are buying patents from Microsoft. So Microsoft bought all the patents from AOL for that ridiculous sum of money, whatever it is, $1 billion.
$1.1 billion.
And then Facebook are now, I guess, buying the rights to use those patents by giving half that.
Yeah, they're going half
money to Microsoft. So $550 million are going from Facebook to Microsoft, so they can use those patents. More stupid money. But what is interesting is there's definitely collusion between Microsoft and Facebook from where I'm sat. I can't see anything else. I mean, they've been working together on a lot of projects recently, and working against the others. And so Google and Apple. In fact, Apple are nearly in on that brigade as well. I think everyone's working against Google.
Both believe the same thing. But Microsoft work with Yahoo. You know, so there's a whole. Is that not when the whole search deal was done between them? You know, was round about Bing, and it's Yahoo that's suing Facebook. It just seems all very, I don't know, wrong.
Yeah, and Apple are kind of trying to shy. Well, seem to be starting to shy away from it. We'll talk about that a bit later. Okay, can we move on now?
Yes, let's please move on.
Okay, just
I've fallen asleep
storage,
already.
Like I say, all the cool kids are doing cloud storage right now. And as a consumer, I think I've got about 5 different cloud storage solutions right now. Are you pretty much the same?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So SkyDrive first.
Each with about 100 meg in each one.
Yeah, so, and not hardly anything in any of them because it's such a pain in the ass. Anyway, so SkyDrive, this is Microsoft's offering, right? Am I right?
That's correct.
Yes, I am right. So they've updated their offering. I mean, I don't use SkyDrive. Anyone use SkyDrive?
No.
No, I'm sure I signed up at one point, but
I signed up. No. And it told me I had 25 gig free, and that's why I signed up, because I thought 25 gig shouldn't be sniffed at.
That's a lot of storage.
And they brought out iOS apps, and they've got a Mac app and all that kind of good stuff, but I don't really use it.
And people have been talking about this, that they've upgraded or up, you know, they've added more features and stuff. But to be honest, it all sounds pretty standard features. So they've got an iOS app, they've got the desktop application, and you can access, through those means. So you can get your files wherever. So it's all much of a muchness, really. And I maybe they've upgraded their allowances and things like that. I'm not utterly sure.
Oh, strangely, if you were currently signed up, you had 25 gig. If you sign up new from, I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday, you only get 7 gig free.
So they've downgraded it.
And if you want to retain...
Their new feature is less storage.
Well, if you want to retain... only Microsoft could make that a new feature. Our new feature is to give you less, because that's what you'd really want. But to retain the 25 gig, you had to sign on to the website and say, yes, I would like more space for you for free. And you ticked the box and they gave you 25 gig still.
Right.
I guess in the background, have they changed some sort of term and conditions, which means legally they've had to do something, you know, round about you having to check a checkbox to say, yes, please keep my space. But SkyDrive seems to be much the same as the others. I think... from doing a bit of Googling and reading and listening to other people, their API support isn't as good as maybe Dropbox.
Yeah.
I think, Dropbox obviously stole the march, and I think they're just slightly ahead. They're just a bit more mature than all these other platforms at the moment. Yes.
Well, I think there's, the other one really is box.net, but they're really trying to do something slightly different. So they don't... it's not so easy to get the folder on your desktop synchronized, but they've gone for get it on as many different platforms and things as possible as quickly as possible. So
let's, while we're on sort of the Dropbox, have added some more features, although I think they've just uncovered a couple of them more than anything. So they're touting the fact that they've made simple file sharing, where you can create a link from a file inside your Dropbox. But you could always do that from within your public folder. Whether you can now do that outside of your public folder, I guess that could be a change and an update. But
previously the public one was always there and you could just send a link. But I think you can just send from any folder now and say, so basically, go and view this, and like you don't have to install anything or log in. You just get a link and it works.
Yeah, so yes. you can now get the link. I'm just trying it out now. So yes, you can get a link for anything and then ping it over. And in fact, they can stream or download from the link that you generate. So a nice little change. And actually, it does make a cloud service more sensible, because it's a quick way of sending big files, isn't it, basically? Instead of using one of those you send it type ideas, you can use your local upload.
If you've done a video and you want to send it to all your family, don't send 25, 30 meg. You know, just send a link.
Send the link. It'll all be centrally distributed, which is good. So, yeah, nice feature. And they've also released their camera sharing. So, Ian, you were on their beta, I think, weren't you?
I was in the beta. If you sign up to the beta, you got a lot of free space. So I think I went from like 6 or 7 gig. I'm now at 13.
And it allows you to upload your SD card from your camera. Yeah?
You plug in an SD, or you plug in like your iPhone or iPad or Android devices. And what they're trying to do is grab the kind of camera sharing market as well. So basically, it's a little camera uploader is built into the client now. And it says, when you pop in, like when I pop in my iPad, it'll tell me, oh, there's new photos to share, and it shares them automatically. So that's now been switched on for real. As usual on the Mac, the client doesn't seem to auto-update very well. So you need to go and grab that new client. if you haven't already been part of the beta, if you do enable this, you can get up to another 3 gig of additional free space. So as you upload video and photos, for every 500 you upload, you get another 500 added to your allowance. So it's a nice way of building up a bit of Dropbox space as well.
It's a nice way of them encouraging you to do so as well. So
yes.
Clever. Okay, so that's Dropbox. So as if we didn't have enough providers already, Google have now jumped in and finally released their Google Drive, which everyone's been talking about, I don't know, for how long?
Really? No, we've been talking about it on the podcast for years.
Yeah.
I reckon the first mention was about four years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
It was really, really long time ago. And I like to start with the post, which I copied into the show notes. Just like the Loch Ness Monster, you may have heard the rumours about Google Drive. It turns out one of the two actually does exist.
The monster?
Yeah.
but again, it's all pretty much the same things, other than the fact they haven't quite got their iOS app out there in the wild yet. It's pretty much the same. You have a desktop app, it has a desktop folder which you put files in, it syncs to your drive, and then you can share those files to other people, keeps them all in sync, and you can access them wherever you can currently access Drive, which is most places other than iOS.
I think the really interesting thing this time was to do with the terms of service, and a lot of people actually getting a bit upset about this, and saying basically Google is claiming ownership of everything that you upload. And I don't know if it's quite as bad as that, but
it basically said we own everything, even if you delete it, and we can reuse it if we want to.
You can expect. We've seen a lot of these similar things on free apps in the past and free services on the web. If you're not paying for it, then you tend to find that the terms of service are take a bit more liberties with your privacy. Of course, for this, Google are you can have a paid plans here. You 25 gigabytes for $2.50 a month, or 100 gigabytes for $5 a month, or a terabyte for $50 a month. The terms of service are the same for all of these, where Google's saying basically we own all your stuff. And if you're paying them that much money, it's a bit annoying, isn't it?
Google have gone down the route, though, of opening their privacy policy up to be general and covering all their all their offerings, which is probably why this general doesn't always give you the fine grain.
But the strange thing was details. That sorry for speaking over you. The strange thing with this was that it was very much a boilerplate terms and conditions, and it was different to the standardized one that they brought in a
month ago. We talked about it in the podcast, didn't we, that they were replacing them with however many they had it with the same one.
It sounds more like a misstep. It sounds like a you know, the legal team have put something in place just to be all encompassing and have maybe not done all the checks and balances on it.
I guess this shows well, if you know, you listen to different sources, you get a different angle. But my understanding of it was that it was basically put in place that they could use your content for promotional, but effectively the rights and ownership remains with you.
I think there was a separate clause that if you didn't read the full thing, if you read one paragraph, it basically says we can use everything, and later on it says, but by the way, it all resides with you.
Yeah, so you still retain ownership, but they're saying we can use it for promotional point of view.
But you don't have any say over that. So yeah, you own it. They retain the right to use it. Well, what if I don't want to let them use it? I don't have any say over
then
that.
Then you don't use the service.
No, but I think that's fine. See if the free part. See if I'm not paying for it. I think that's fine. There's a term and condition there, and we can reuse your data and we can do what we like with it. See if I'm paying for it. Sod off. That's my data.
Yep, absolutely.
And you're right. If I don't like it, go somewhere else.
There's enough of them.
Well, you're absolutely right. There are enough of them, and there are going to be loads of people that aren't really that bothered and are just going to use Google anyway because it's Google and it, you know, fits in with the fact that they've got lots of other things. So
yeah, exactly that for me is I'm so ingrained in Google with, you know, the Android device and just generally across their app platform and stuff that it's a no-brainer for me. And as everyone knows, I'm a bit, privacy, whatever. So.
And it's interesting for me, I guess I'm still relying on Dropbox a lot more because they got first with the API. A lot of the apps that I use are syncing via Dropbox, and iCloud is slowly creeping in, but it's still not everywhere because Dropbox is good enough.
Yeah.
Google, the thing I noticed they were trying to do quite differently with this is they're wrapping an app platform around this. It's not so obvious when you go to the actual Google Drive and enable it. And it's a bit odd because once you enable it, it basically takes your Google Docs and rebrands it Drive. It still looks like Google Docs. So it's at first you're like,
strange, isn't it?
What have I gained? But they seem to be wrapping apps around it and saying, here's all these apps and you'll save your content into this folder. And when you sync locally, so you put the Mac client on, it syncs locally. If it's a Google document, all it is basically a web shortcut. If you click on it to launch it, it launches Google Chrome.
But it is a web shortcut that enables you to view offline, so
that's a good
enhanced
point. And the good thing is, if you do put like a Word doc in there or PDFs, it does sync and go elsewhere, but it doesn't then try and use Google Docs to edit that. It will use the proper tools to edit it. But I do think they're doing something subtly different to Dropbox.
I don't think the full extent of it will become clear till maybe 3-4 months down the line. Onto the dreaded earnings quarters, and that's why not mention Apple? We always do, so let's do it again. 110 billion in cash now.
Yeah, with which they could buy Amazon and Nokia and RIM if they were so inclined, which is quite something, isn't it?
I could probably buy my house as well.
What's interesting is all the posts about what they can buy. So at first it was all jokey things like they could buy Poland and they could buy all these kind of things. And then it's the fact that in one day they earned three rims, did last year.
Three rims.
And I thought that was quite funny. And then it was people saying things like, what if they bought Square, which is the payment thing, and they bought Foursquare, which is your kind of, and they baked it into your next phone. So when you walked in somewhere, it did the check-ins automatically and it did the payments automatically. And you're starting to think, oh, somebody's starting to think about this. What if they did go and do stuff like that? Because they see the check-in stuff. I know it's really popular. I hate it because I just I can't be arsed.
People know where I am.
But I don't mind that. I don't mind people knowing where I am. It's just the fact that you fire up an app and go, I'm checking in. I just want to go somewhere and it says, Ian's checked in at his Gimp mask shop. You know what I mean? I don't care. As Chris says, privacy's out there. So it's gone.
You might be buying three rims as well.
Whoa.
That was below the bell, that was.
That was a rim shot.
Oh dear.
So anyway,
they got tons of cash.
They got tons of cash, and I know I said I wouldn't do quarters again, but the reason I did this one in wasn't so much the money, but I did put it in there because it's ridiculous how much they've got. It was our friend Tim Cook, who kind of seemed to be softening in the whole let's go to war with everybody. So basically his quote was, I'd highly prefer to settle versus battle. But you know, the key things that's very important is that Apple doesn't become the developer to the world. And I think his only point in that was that they still feel that they shouldn't, you know, develop something, patent something, and everybody else can then just use it, and they lose some sort of competitive advantage. But it's very different to Steve Jobs saying, "I'm going to go thermonuclear."
Yeah, and to be honest, you know, thermonuclear, everyone destroys each other, so you don't get anywhere. This seems like a much more rounded view.
Interestingly, Samsung and Apple have been asked to go to arbitration, so they are going to sit down and see if they can work through the differences, which I'm sure, considering that the iPad is three quarters of Samsung, you know, although it's branded Apple, I'm sure it's in Apple's interest to try and settle it as well without losing out in their eyes.
Well, the thing with Samsung is, I mean, they should at least change their packaging so they don't even look, so they don't look like Apple products anymore on the outside
as
internally.
But the thing is, everyone's doing the same kind of packaging deal now.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. You see it all over the place. And it's just influence because it's what's popular.
You looked at there was a Google stuff with their Oracle battle right now, and it had that original, this is how the Google phone will look, and all the Apple fanboys are saying, oh, look, used to be a keyboard and the iPhone came out and they swapped it. What are they going to do? The touch proved most popular, so people moved to it. Nokia took a while to move, and I'm not saying they're nowhere, but they're now the number two company. Samsung's now the most popular mobile phone provider.
Mm. Yep.
People always copy.
And of course they do. You know, it's almost like, I'm just thinking of an analogy, which, you know, when newspapers first came out, you know, it's almost like someone patented the first bit of folded paper and therefore no one can ever do that again. It's ridiculous that, you know, the fact is it's the content that counts more and its functionality. No one patented the newspaper just because it didn't make sense to. It's just the form factor that works. Anyway. We've argued that before.
WWDC as well. So June 11th to 15th. So we're 6 weeks away from maybe Mountain Lion and iOS 6 news.
That's the general stuff they released at that time, isn't it? So
yeah.
And obviously, they did say that they were going to a much more rapid release schedule on the old operating system. So chances are we will get some more juicy stuff. O2, mobile wallet. Now, we've seen a lot of mobile companies releasing these simple payments, basically a way to make payments via text message, and O2 has now launched its offering, and you can send up to £500 via text message. Now that seems an awful lot of money to be sending around via text message. To start with, you can do it for free, but they will eventually be charging a transaction fee for you to do something like that. And I imagine it's the same setup as far as you have to then register with their service. So it's, you know, someone sends you some money via text and you then have to register your phone number and set up your account to go and receive that money.
Which sounds similar to the one we covered, Barclays Ping It, was it? Was it Ping It it was called?
Yeah, so they were first in the market with their option.
Which has a big push on TV advertising at the moment.
Absolutely. Well,
I haven't noticed it.
They said it was going to be, I think it was the start of April, but it took a couple of weeks. The app got updated about a week and a half ago, and it's now open to all customers, so you don't just have to be a Barclays customer. So you can now sign up for Ping It, get the new version, authenticate it with your account, and we can be pinging money to each other.
The annoying thing is, if someone does send you money that way, you have to register in order to go and get a hold of that money. It's a clever system in that it forces you to do it. It's a bit like how PayPal started out, right?
And when PayPal came out and they were first, and they've got the market, and I think there's a big rush on now to be the...
Well, clearly is.
But I think it's too late. You know, everybody's coming out at the same time. Nobody's really able to gain real land grab, really.
You going to send money this way? Can't say I'm convinced.
I've signed up to Ping It.
Have you? Okay.
Just purely to... see it and test it
as a tech person.
I don't know anybody else that did it though.
No, I don't understand the idea of being able to fling around money really via text. It's almost too easy, too much chance to leave your phone somewhere and then
telling you go to primary schools, all the kids have done it.
Show me your phone.
What are you doing hanging around primary schools, Ian?
Well, I found some lollipops in your jacket pocket, which is a story from many years ago.
They were for my children.
Okay, so we've got another one. Visa, V.me. Is it a similar idea? It sounds like it is.
A European digital wallet. It's launching this year. I think because O2 and Barclay Card are already in there and everybody else. So Visa announced this last year and they're still not launched. So basically they put a press release today saying, yeah, we're coming later this year.
Wait for us. Hello. we're coming.
So you can combine bank accounts, credit cards. The strange thing is it sounded like PayPal. It's all going to be web-based and you get a username and password. And it's like, so you're spending a year putting together PayPal and it's web only.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Following on from our retro theme over the past few weeks, Spectrum, they've had a birthday now as well.
Spectrum is green.
30 years old.
SIG.
anyone here use a Spectrum?
No, I might have got an emulator at one point. No, I did. I tell you what, I was one of those really sad children that wasn't allowed. I wasn't allowed a Spectrum. My dad said that one Christmas I could have an extra 15 minutes on the ones that they had for demo purposes in John Menzies.
Great.
Menzies had Spectrums in amazing.
They did. They used to have them lined up.
See, I remember it.
Everyone remembers it because it looked good, didn't it?
I remember it being called John Mingus. None of this Menzies nonsense.
Yeah. Well, it was John Mingus, really, but nobody knew what I was talking about when we used to talk about that. So,
I never had one of these, but everyone remembers it fondly just because it did look quite retro. It's probably it almost looked more like a console than a kind of computer.
No, it looked like a calculator.
It was the rubber keys that rubber never keys. Really worked properly.
Sometimes they worked beautifully and other times they weren't going to work.
Me and Shaq were Amstrad CPC users and were such snobs when a couple of the guys had like rubber key Spectrum. I was like, run away and play with your rubber keys.
Rubber keys. Well, you see, because the Commodore had a proper keyboard. It worked really, really well.
Commodore
And even the Commodore, of course, it was for the kids that couldn't really afford a BBC Micro, which was the real pinnacle of computing at the time.
Oh, thank you very much. Henry agrees with me that the BBC was the pinnacle of microcomputing.
Cock. No, in fact, I'm wrong. Pair of cocks. I put up the prices there as well. So BBC started at 235 quid. Commodore 64 was 350.
I think the BBC Model B was a bit more expensive.
The Model B.
Yeah.
The Model B was a bit more expensive.
You sounded so Middle England there.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get my John Lewis
The Spectrum launched at £125.
£125
quid, that's right.
For 16K.
That was a lot of money. That was a lot of money in those days.
For 16K. Scary.
Hi. There you go. Great
but
stuff.
But no, there was some amazing games on it as well.
Well, of course, you can still get the emulators now, can't you?
One of the guys I was on a course with last week was sitting next to me and says, I've got a working Spectrum in my attic. I was quite jealous. I gave away my Amstrad. I think it was the last one I gave away. I've got all the others. Oh, no, I gave away my PS2 as well. Everything else in the attic.
Ready to go.
Yep. Set up in fact,
can I just say that if you're getting a Raspberry Pi... Then there's a Spectrum emulator where you can get you can download for called Fuse Spectrum emulator. You can download that and put it on your Raspberry Pi.
Have you got your Pi yet?
No, it's coming the end of May. I've got a date.
It's always coming, isn't it?
No. I've got a date now. Week beginning 28th of May.
So is Christmas.
So not very far away. So good for you. Let's have some picks then. That's the end of the news, so let's have some picks.
Chris, what's your pick?
I don't have one. Henry, what are you going to do for us today?
Well, I'm sure I'm going to do a repeat of one we've had before, but it's a good one and we can't find it anywhere on the website anyway. So it's called Tunnel Bear, which is a VPN, which is quite appropriate. We were talking about VPNs for getting around the Pirate Bay. So if you're into finding alternatives to the Pirate Bay and you need a VPN, then this might be just what you're looking for. It's a lovely looking VPN client. Download it for PC or Mac. And there's an iOS app if you pay $5 a month. Which gives you unlimited downloads or $50 for a whole year. So you get a bit of a discount if you sign up for a year. Again, unlimited downloads. There's a 500 megabyte per month limit on the free service. And very simple, lovely looking app with just two buttons on it where you can switch it on and off and a toggle for whether you want a US or a UK IP address. So I've tried it there. You can sign. You want to watch some Hulu videos or things, which are limited to the States. Fire this on, toggle the buttons with the US IP address, and you're good to go. So for a number of things, I imagine if you're out with the UK, you want to access some of the BBC iPlayer content. It's another something
way
else
back
you
in.
Can do is a way back in. So so there's two things. Tunnel Bear, it's called. So well worth a little look. And yeah,
thank you very much, Ian. What have you got for us?
Mine is an app called SkoTutor. This is SkoTutor for Mac, and you can get this app for either Mac or iOS. And basically, it's a great tutorial app, you know. So it tells you all about how to use your
PC.
Mac. No, how to use your Mac. So it's 150 minutes. It's all video tutorials, and it's a really. I mean, the application itself is really, really useful. And as usual, I should have prepared more before I came on and got all the guy's name and stuff, because I'm annoyed that I can't remember who's. It's Don McAllister, that's right. So Screencast Online is Don does a great service called Screencast Online. It's a paid. He does like one video a month free, but he also does a paid service. And he doesn't just like review an application, but he'll take you through how to use the app properly. He goes in depth on it and he provides some great tutorials. And he started dabbling with releasing these as actual apps on the App Store for both Mac and iOS. Initially, they were paid ones. I think it was like $2.99 or something like that. And he did an experiment on Friday. He's made these free for a week, and he says the downloads are amazing. And if you look at he's number one in the education apps, and he's really high up in the charts in the Mac App Store as well. I think he was number three or two for free apps. If you know somebody that's picked up an iPad and has maybe then moved on to a Mac and is struggling a bit or needs a bit of a tutorial, these are great because it takes you through all the basics and you can always learn something. They're free for a week, so basically you've got the next sort of 5-6 days to download it. The experiment's worked so much, he's also released free SkoTutor for iPad. So this is a similar app, but it teaches you how to use your iPad as well. So there's probably more people out there that are new, got new iPads recently. Grab this app. Well,
surely no one needs to know how to use an iPad because you just know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That sounds like a good pick. Get in quick though. That is nearly the end of our podcast because we've got a competition or a small point of the competition to finish off for you.
We do. So I think it's fell to me to draw out the winner.
Yep.
I have a magic ball bag with me. And I'm going to reach into that magic ball bag and draw out
Stop it. Stop now.
Hold on while I rummage.
You can't say that.
Put it away.
I'm rummaging.
Put it away.
Oh,
I don't want to see that.
I'm switching off my video. Oh.
I've produced the ball. The winner of an exclusive t-shirt.
Oh.
Is number 8. And that's Brian Lancaster. Our mate Brian. So that all sounds a bit of a stitch up.
It's the 8 ball.
It is the 8 ball. And as my magic ball bag never fails me.
Oh dear. Congratulations to Brian for a fantastic winning of a t-shirt.
Yes, congratulations, Brian. If you want to get in touch with us.
Sorry, I've got his address.
You've got his address.
Yeah. This wasn't a stitch up at all.
Excellent.
Well, do you not need stitched up now with your
put your balls away. It's the end of the podcast. So if you want to find out more about us, you can do at www.digitaloutbox.com. You can email us info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. Our Facebook page has also now got its own branded name of Digital Outbox. Where can we find more about you, Ian?
My website is iand.net, and I am on Twitter as Shweepa.
Henry.
I'm on Twitter as Talk Rhubarb.
And I'm on Twitter as Cheesy UK. That's the end of the podcast for this week. Next week, we might be a bit late again, so we're probably looking about Tuesday again. So sorry about that, but we will be back on schedule soon. Nice talking at you, and we'll talk at you again next week. Cheers, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's
I almost burst into Cleopatra talking at you. What's shocking?
Your magic ball back. Just wrong in so many ways.
Are we allowed to say buying three rims? I want to keep it in.
I did add a rim shot in there as well.
Oh, excuse me.
I might
you say it, Henry.
I might do a bit of editing. But the magic ball bag stays.